Our scripture this morning is from Philippians chapter 4. And before I read that, I just want to ask you, Lord, for your wisdom this morning, for your joy in the hearing of your word, in the sharing of it. And thank you for your presence here among us. Amen. From Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, this is the New International Version translation. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul's writing to the Christians at the Church of Philippi and to us today. This is the title of my message. It's how I feel about the promise of peace. In Philippians 4 that we just read, God has given us a beautiful, glorious, powerful, remarkable promise. Right here. That no one else can make. God is promising us peace in every situation, peace in everything, and freedom from anxiety about anything. It's astonishing. Do you want this? Do you want this? Peace in every situation and freedom from anxiety about anything. Can you imagine it? Can you believe it? The peace of Jesus is different than the world's peace. Jesus himself said so in John 14. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." What a promise. My peace I give you. Not like the world's. The world, our society, defines peace, you know, as a state of tranquility and calm in the absence of conflict, in the absence of violence, in the absence of things that cause us worry and anxiety. So, who all felt tranquil this week? Did you feel tranquil? But God promises a powerful peace that guards, as we just read, that guards our minds and hearts in the midst of the conflict and troubles. Not in the absence of them, but in the midst of them. Do you want this? If we don't have this peace of Jesus, this peace that God promises us, if we don't have this, guarding our hearts and our minds, it's because we are not doing something God calls us to do. This is why. And what God calls us to do is found in Philippians chapter 4. What does he say? In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There it is. Pray and be thankful. Sounds good? Yes. Easy? No. No. First, we have to know that we can and we will trust the God who made these promises to us. This promise and these promises, like the ones that you can find in the book of Romans, like this one. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's Romans 8, 28. And how about Romans 8, 38? For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to know the God who makes these promises. What separates us? What can separate us from God's love? What? Nothing. Nothing. He promised. We need to know that we can and we will trust Jesus, our Savior, who made the journey from the manger to the cross for us. To know we can trust God and trust Jesus, we have to know them. Not just know about God and about Jesus, but we have to know God and know Jesus. These beautiful children are growing up, thanks to their home and their church family, hearing, learning the story of the birth of Jesus, the story of Christmas. That love story, Ann Voskamp says, has been coming to us from before the beginning. But we want them to grow up knowing Jesus, not just the story, but to be part of the story. These beautiful children, we want them to know who they can trust, who loves them. Yeah. And Jesus said something interesting here, back in the Gospel of John again. Verse 23, Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Jesus said this, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And my Father and I will love them, and we will come, they will come to us and make their home with us." Jesus offers the deepest revelation of himself to those who love and obey him, and to those who seek him. To those who seek him, he will open his heart, and we will know him best. But I have learned that to do this, we have to be intentional. This is not big news here, but I wanted to say it out loud this morning. We have to be intentional. Prayer is a conversation with God, with Jesus. You're on holy ground. You talk, you listen. God listens, God talks. Reading the Bible, this is his living word. It's living. It's a conversation with God. Do you do this? I do this. When I open my Bible to read out loud, I say, and it says, technically we should say it reads, but it's right to say it says, because it's God speaking. It's God speaking. It's God saying, "Hey, Beverly, I want to talk with you. Sit down and look here." And the Holy Spirit is given to us as a gift to teach us, help us, enlighten us. And for this, we are thankful. So here's some intentionality. Why don't you think about bringing your Bible to church? And during Pastor Justin's message, take notes. Write in your Bible. Use it as a journal. If you don't want to do that, bring a notebook. Write down your questions. Write down your thoughts while Justin is speaking. Because once you get home, it can be gone. But something that the Holy Spirit spoke to you in that moment, write it down and study it and be thankful for the relationship. And I'm thinking about Christmas. Don't just bake cookies, Christmas cookies, or buy them, but hunger for the Word of God. The church library over there is full of the most excellent books for children and adults. And it doesn't have to be about Christmas. There's wonderful books there written by other people who were called by God to help us and encourage us to know God. Take them and read them. Look, learn, and be thankful. And why don't we talk about Jesus at home? We talk about football, we talk about movies, we talk about restaurants. I talk a lot. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's have a conversation. If you're going home to a home and you're the only one there, call somebody on the phone. Say, guess what the pastor said this morning? Guess what I learned? Guess what God spoke to my heart? Let's talk about Jesus. And parents and grandparents, do you read every day a story or a devotion with your kids, with your spouse? Do you do this? Be thankful that you can. While you're putting up your Christmas lights, are you thanking the light of the world who pushes back the darkness? Christmas decorations. Do you have a nativity in your home? Do you have ornaments that celebrate Jesus? On the small tree over by the stable, the two small trees, the children put those up. They're called chrismons. They're all white and gold thread. They were handmade years ago by Marie Woods, Pastor Woody's, Charles Woods' wife. And we have them all. All these years we've kept them and protected them. Each one has a symbol of Jesus on it. So look at them. And gifts. Oh, gifts. Ann Voskamp wrote this. I like this so much I wish I had said it. But Ann wrote, Jesus takes us into his story and into his heart and gives us his name and his righteousness. And I'm adding, and his hope and his peace and his joy and his love. Ann says, is there a greater gift you could ever want or need or have? And be thankful. This past week, I felt my peace slipping. It was slipping and sliding precariously. Because this past week was filled with doctor appointments and bad news and too much and too little time and frustrations and disappointments and disrupted plans. There was a pine tree in my living room. There still is, undecorated. A pumpkin on my front porch. It's ridiculous. And I could feel it. I could feel it slipping. What was I doing? Not being intentional. I was not being intentional. And so I walked into the living room and I said to Mom, we have to stop. We have to just stop. And I got out the one thing, the first Christmas decoration, one thing. It's our cradle to cross wreath. It's handmade out of wood. And each day you mark Advent with candles that you can light. It's in a spiral. Each day, and each day we're reading together our book of daily devotions. The book we're using is called The Greatest Gift. And we sat that afternoon in the presence of Jesus. And there we found our peace, there, in Jesus himself. Not the lighting of the candles and the reading, but that was the intention it took for us to stop and be with Jesus. He graced us with his presence in our untidy living room and our untidy hearts. Jesus said, "Come sit down with me." Our friend Diane lives in the high rise, and right now they're having a kind of a COVID outbreak there. And she said that I could share this. Diane's a widow. She has friends here, but she feels isolated right now and lonely. But here is her intention. We talked this week. She said, "I am choosing to spend my time during Advent getting to know Jesus more." This is her intention. And so she has a sanctuary of peace in her little apartment and in her own heart. The Advent booklet that we're using, it's called It's About Time. The devotion for today is about Adam and Eve and how they messed up. They broke their trust with God, and they forfeited their paradise, and they forfeited their peace. We don't want to forfeit our peace. The last line of today's devotion says, "It brought regret to their darkness." We don't want that. A.W. Tozer is a favorite Christian author of mine. He was a pastor. He said, "We have as much of God as we actually want. We have as much of God as we actually want. I want more. I want more of God. I want more of Jesus. And with this comes more hope, more joy, more love, more peace. This is what I want. This is what I pray that you want." These last days of Advent, or excuse me, these first days of Advent, seasonally, where we live, are the darkest days of the year. It can feel that way for the heart, too. But more light is coming. More joy is coming. This week, when Patty told me about the passing of Ed's brother, she said, we're just shocked. And then she said, "We need Jesus." Yes, yes, and yes. And so I would like for us to let the work of Advent for us, let the work of Advent for us be to stay awake, to watch, to seek Jesus, to be intentional in what we do. We need Jesus. We need the peace that guards our minds and hearts. And that is found only in his presence. Isaiah speaks from those ancient times to us today. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, the light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. And the name of our Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace is... Don't be reluctant to say it out loud. Jesus. It is Jesus. Yes. Speak it. Talk about him. Be intentional in getting to know him. Yes. And might I add, be glorious. You're a Christian. You're a follower of Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, to your glory, help us to make room and make time. Help us. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.